I think that probably the most forgotten character in the entire coming of Jesus' story, in the entire Christmas story, probably has to be Joseph. But if you were looking for someone to care for some precious cargo of your own, what kind of person would you look for? Let's walk through this Matthew chapter 1 scripture that was our focus during communion. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Let that phrase sink in. That's who he was. He was a righteous man. Everybody in that community, Nazareth, or actually the nearby town of Sepphoris, which is not mentioned in the Bible, but it's actually the larger community. And if you were to visit Israel today, a lot of people don't go there. But it's actually a place that more than likely that's where Joseph and Jesus did most of their carpentry work. Sepphoris, it was a sizable town. Nazareth was not. But everybody in the area, they knew Joseph. Who's a man who's good for his word? Joseph. Who's a guy who doesn't gossip? Joseph. Who's a guy who charges you a fair rate for good work? Joseph was a righteous man. And he did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace, and so he had mind to divorce her quietly. Let me just mention that Joseph, I think, is the hero of every person who parents a child not of their own flesh and blood. To every parent who is an adoptive parent. To every parent who is a foster parent. To every parent who's in a blended family where you are raising a child, not your own flesh and blood, but somehow that child has come to you through some gifting of God, and you invest in the life of that child, Joseph is the forerunner of every person who takes that responsibility seriously and nobly. That's Joseph, a righteous man, the kind of guy that God could trust with heavenly cargo. Now, Joseph's character positioned him for a noble assignment, and he was a righteous man. Now, stop for just a second and let that phrase sink in. There is a kind of righteousness that's almost hard-nosed. There is a kind of righteousness that's almost mean-spirited. We've all met, quote-unquote, righteous people who are quick to judge and almost have an edge to them in the name of God or in the name of doing what's right. But you know, the Bible says that love is willing to cover over a multitude of sins. That's also what it means to be righteous. And I can't really claim to be a righteous man if I'm not willing to be gracious, to cover over a multitude of sins. Any righteous man or woman is willing to do that. And that was Joseph, because righteousness without love is just scary. It is. Righteousness without love is scary. But Joseph was the kind of guy who had a righteousness that was above the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. That's Joseph. A righteous man, but a righteous man with a problem. Because his fiancée is pregnant, and whoever the father is, Joseph knows it's not him. And listen carefully, his reputation is on the line. And it doesn't take much imagination to just, you know, create a scenario in your mind where you see Joseph wrestling with this situation, wrestling with this scenario. Mary is pregnant. She's blaming it on God, and Joseph in his heart decides that she has suffered enough, and what he's going to do is, even though I'm sure some of the blowhards in town would have said, I'll tell you what I would do if she was my fiance. Yeah, we all know what you'd do. But Joseph decides to deal with Mary privately and graciously. He's not interested in making some public spectacle of her, even though that would be easier on him and his own reputation. Joseph is truly a righteous person. And so he decides to put her away privately in a way that would allow her to have a future. Now, verse 20. And after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I read that and I'm going, why didn't you tell me that from the beginning? Hello, angel, God, why did you let me wrestle with all, why did you let me imagine? Why didn't you take all of this nervousness from, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle Mary? Is she telling me the truth? I mean, what are people going to, why did, it would have been much easier on me if you had just taken me aside and said, Joseph, let me explain to you everything that's going to happen from the beginning so you'll never, you don't, I don't want you to be nervous. I don't want you to be unsure. I want to explain every detail to you. Have you figured out that removing Joseph's anxiety is not a number one on God's to-do list? And have you ever noticed that in your life that it's possible that anxiety removal is not God's number one item in your life? That sometimes there's a thing called the ministry of confusion. That when I'm confused, that when I'm waiting, Joseph has to wrestle with, what kind of righteous man will I be? I could hammer Mary, and there are a lot of people who would say I did the right thing. But he's wrestling with what kind of righteous man he'll actually become. God could have made it easy on him and explained every detail. He didn't. He said, Joseph, I'm going to take you through the ministry of confusion. I'm going to let you wrestle. And may it, is it possible that you're there now, that you're in some season right now where you're saying, God, I wish you would just explain to me everything. And he says, I want you to wrestle. I want this to be a season where you, where your faith is stretched, where your character is stretched, and where you might even become a more righteous man or woman. Well, Joseph makes a decision that when you think about all of the implications here, you just have to stand in awe of what he did. And by the way, several times in the Christmas story, you'll hear this phrase, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. They said it to Joseph, they said it to the shepherds, don't be afraid. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, there are going to be times you'll have to act courageously. Joseph did. What's this going to do to my reputation? You just don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. You take Mary home. You do the right thing. Now, verse 21. Mary will give birth to a son. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You know, naming a new baby, that's hard work. How many of you found that out? That's hard work, naming a child. Coming up with a name that everybody in the family is happy about. Dad wants a name that's going to sound good in the starting lineup. Mom wants a fashionable name. The grandparents are voting for family names, something cool sounding like Ronald. You know, that's a great name. It is a miracle of diplomacy that any name that the whole family's happy about can be found. In our family, we are expecting our first granddaughter in a little over a month. We've got three grandsons. They are fantastic. Looking forward to being with them later today. They are wonderful little guys. But just about a month away, we're going to have our first little granddaughter, and that name has yet to be finalized. I refer to her as Rhonda Lee, all right? My wife, Martha, refers to her as Martha Lou, all right? Our son, Ryan, who will be this little girl's uncle, refers to her as Rhinona, okay? So You got all kinds of, you know, names. It's tough coming up with a name, but Mary and Joseph didn't face that challenge, that hassle. The name was decided in advance, and the job description was decided in advance. I want you to picture the manger of Jesus. Can you just imagine the manger there in Bethlehem, in a cave, in the manger of Jesus? And can you picture the shadow of a cross over that manger? You are to give him the name Jesus, the Greek name for Joshua. Jehovah is our salvation, because he will save his people from their sins. And by the way, he lived up to his name. I read not long ago about a lady in Sweden who wanted to name her child Superman. No joke. The government would not allow that to occur. They felt because, you know, actually that's just kind of mean. Nobody can live up to that name. Jesus lived up to his name. On the cross, he said what? It is finished. I've accomplished what I came to do. Verse 22, and all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. This is a quote from Isaiah from chapter 7. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Here's the second name. And by the way, this is the only time in Scripture in the New Testament where the term Emmanuel is found. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not God over us, not God above us, but God with us. God's moving in our direction so that we might move in his. He's not God just with us for a season. He's God with us forever. And he says, wherever you are not alone. And whatever you're going through, our God is sufficient. He is there. I will never leave you, he says. And I will never forsake you. And verse 24, and when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Gang, Joseph didn't have a lot of the advantages we have, but let me tell you something he did have. He had an obedient and responsive heart. And if you have an obedient and responsive and submissive heart to God, if you're willing to say, God, I'm willing to take my plans, my agenda, my dreams, and I'm willing to place them before you, your will be done. If you've got that kind of heart, that's all that's needed for God to do glorious things in you, perhaps on a smaller scale. That's all that's needed, though, for God to do glorious things in you and in the lives of the people around you. And so there's Joseph, the kind of man God could trust with heavenly cargo, a man of character, of true righteousness, the kind of righteousness that didn't make him mean-spirited, the kind of righteousness that made him gracious. And those qualities positioned him for the master's use. I want to point you to one other scripture this morning from John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Jesus Christ, this great gift from God, God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness, and this darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And you too are the light of the world. You have no light of your own. I have no light of my own. We're like the moon. The moon has no light of its own. It simply reflects the light of the sun. And we reflect the light of the Son of God, heaven's best good gift to us. I close with this quote from C.S. Lewis, who says, if the basic Christian thesis is true, and Jesus is indeed the Son of God, then you can never be the same after your discovery as you were before. You cannot sit Jesus at the end of a microscope You cannot sit Jesus at the end of a telescope and say, how interesting. Jesus Christ is not interesting. He is profoundly, morally, and spiritually disturbing and challenging. If there is anybody that forces us to get off the fence and enter the field of moral commitment, it is Jesus Christ. He is God, and He deserves our worship and not just our patronage. He doesn't deserve our admiration. He is worthy of our adoration. And to that I would say, amen. Why don't you stand right where you are? Let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing our concluding song in just a moment. I'm thankful that you spent this Christmas day with us. We wish for you all of God's best, and if we can help you in any way, take your next step as a follower of Jesus, that we would like to do. Let's pray together, please. Father God, we give you thanksgiving for Jesus, your only begotten Son. I know what it's like to live in darkness, and everybody else here does as well. And I need the hope only Jesus brings. I need the purpose that He explains. I need the forgiveness that only He offers. And whatever darkness we may find ourselves in today, whatever tunnel we're in, we believe that you have something for us. Your goodness, your willingness to restore us, to forgive us, to sustain us, to help us take the next right step. And not worry about 3 days from now, but to just take the next right step. You'll help us. And so, Lord God, on this Christmas Day morning, would you fill us fresh with your Holy Spirit? And would you let the light of Christ's love shine over us in a tangible way? Let us feel it and sense it and taste again just how real you are and just how good you are. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.